Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Monday edition of The Wrap, live on YouTube. It is by far our most important episode of The Wrap all year long because it is a culmination of the biggest weekend in WWE and, quite frankly, professional wrestling. It is the culmination of WrestleMania 40 going down live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you here live on YouTube, still fresh, baby-faced as ever, not perky Scott Young, but for one more night, he is WrestleMania Scott Young. Welcome back, WrestleMania Scott.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited to finally be able to go to bed, you know, now that we've gotten to the last page of the story, so I'm excited to finally get some sleep. But in all seriousness, this was a great night at WrestleMania. This was definitely the step up that it needed to be from night one.
This was what we talked about last night. We mentioned that night one was a nice appetizer to get your appetite ready for night two of WrestleMania. And boy, did it ever live up to expectations. We kind of called how the main event was going to go. It had a couple of twists and turns here and there, but overall, I thought that night two eclipsed night one by a lot. And that's been the case, you know, for not the last couple of WrestleManias, to be honest. It was always night one bettering night two, but night two clearly overshadowed night one. And Triple H said during the press conference that was the intention. That was a nice primer. It was a precursor for things to come, and I totally understood it. And most importantly, Scott, the weather was much better. It was not as cold as Saturday night because people were freezing their buns off in Philly, and I know that people have been saying that maybe it's not so wise to have an East Coast WrestleMania in the Northeast because of the weather, but you know, spring can come at any time, early or late, depends on how the season blows. But for night two, this crowd, I have to say, they were hot from the opening bell until the very end of the show.
Yeah, they were, and the wrestling gave them something to be excited about. I thought the wrestling was a step above what we got the night before. I thought some of the match selections they had tonight was a little bit questionable. Just, you know, the number of kendo sticks we saw tonight was, that was a choice. But, you know, I think just the crowd was hot. Everything just worked tonight. Everything was on. Everybody hit their spots. I just thought it was a great, great, great night. Great way to cap off WrestleMania weekend.
Yes, it was. It was an incredible weekend, incredibly busy for us, and it was a lot of fun. But you know what? Before we dive into night two of WrestleMania, as promised, we're going to briefly talk about NXT Stand and Deliver going down live from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the night before WrestleMania night two and the day of WrestleMania night one, Saturday morning at 12 noon Eastern on Peacock. And I was very surprised by the tickets that were moved for this NXT. I forgot to keep track of the tickets, but come to find out, This was the most attended NXT event ever, topping every takeover they've ever done in an arena. And for this crew to pack a house of 13,000 plus Saturday at noon, the day of WrestleMania, is very, very impressive.
Yeah, hats off to the NXT. They're definitely taking advantage of the momentum that WWE has, and good on them for that. The show was good. I thought the main event was a little underwhelming, if I'm being just honest to myself. It was fine for what it was, but a little underwhelming. I thought there were, you know, better matches on the card, but you know, the card overall was pretty good. Tag match was real good, very fast paced. I thought Tony D stepped up in his opportunity, and the big man killed it. So good card, but underwhelming main event. I hope they run it back, and I think they could do a little bit more.
Oh, definitely. I thought the main event was all right. I was not a fan of all the ref bumps between Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. It was, to me, a bit overbooked. Now, unlike tonight's main event, that was an overbooked masterpiece that was meant to be. In this case, I think that NXT made a flaw, and that if you wanted chicanery, if you wanted shenanigans, then you do one of two things. You make this match between Trick and Carmelo no disqualification, or you simply do an unsanctioned match to really solidify there must be a winner. Ava telling the referee, show discretion, let them do what they want to do to a point. Don't let them swing the chair too much. Don't let them do too much to before the break the count of 10. Like, let's be lenient. No, just make up your mind as to whether or not you want to add stips or no stips to this match. The fans were really here for this main event, but as you said, it was a bit overbooked for me. And the match was good for what it was. Great moment for Trick to get that victory in Philly, his sub-plan hometown. Got the pop, the whoop that Trick chant was everything. The work was very good, but to me, the body of the match, if you want to go violence, go violent in Philly. That's what you do. Go extreme. Don't be afraid to go there. But for whatever reason, they were kind of like, bleh. Just go out there and dance around the stipulations versus actually adding steps to this match.
Yeah. And there's not really much to add to that. You know, that's essentially the story they told. But so I to me, that just makes it seem like this is not the end of their story. I think the title will be involved at some point. But like you said, good on them for drawing that type of house. I think everybody put on a good show. Trick is still incredibly over. And I think that's a big part of it. I think that's the element that was probably missing from that Trick Mello match was the title, like this comment is talking about. I never understand the title match is not main eventing. That's probably what was missing, you know, that title being in that match between those two being, you know, just that touch, that cherry on the top could have made the difference, but it is what it is. Again, what's important is they drew that nice house and everybody did a good job in their matches.
Definitely. And I agree with Venkin that, you know, the story could have been them fighting for the championship with Yulio in the mix. And speaking of Dragunov, he had the match against Tony D'Angelo for the NXT championship in the co-main event spot, the semi-main. And it was a good match. You know, Tony D came through, very physical, bruising match. Dragunov is going to bring out the best in his opponents every single time. Yesterday was no different. But once again, the build-up to this match was very underwhelming and disappointing. But the work was good. The fans were into it. And the right guy won. And the question becomes, will Trick Williams be the guy to ultimately dethrone Dragunov and win the NXT championship, possibly a battleground, when they move the venue from Savannah, Georgia to the UFC Apex in Las Vegas to give it that grimy feel with an intimate setting?
Yeah, like I said, I thought Tony D stepped up well, and it's a good title match.
Definitely. As we work our way forward to our next match, which was Roxanne Perez versus Lyra Valkyria for the NXT Women's Championship. Now, I will be honest, this crowd was pretty so-so for this match, but they were definitely rooting for Roxanne Perez when it counted most, especially when she locked in the crossface for the submission as she went after that left arm that she targeted from Lyra Valkyria that she injured a few weeks ago. And I like the psychology of this match. Booker T was somewhat impartial to a point. He stood up when Roxanne won and she completed her story dating back to last year that she was stripped of the championship when she technically never lost it via pinfall or submission. And she finished her story at Stand and Deliver in Philadelphia. Good match. We had some interference courtesy of Wednesday Adams. Tatum Baxley really didn't care for that much, but ultimately Roxanne Perez, his pop rocks, locks in the crossface arm breaker, and she is the new NXT Women's Champion, a rarefied air, two-time NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, the match was fine. You know, Lyra didn't really get the elevation from Becky Lynch that we all hoped for, but the match was fine. Roxanne, we'll see what she does as a top heel in the brand and essentially is the kind of the veteran on the brand as well. So this would be a good opportunity for some baby faces who got a big victory on the show to really step up and get an opportunity in some main events.
Definitely. And Vinken says she lost in a ladder match, but they stripped her of the championship, so she did not walk in as a defending champion. They said, well, you're not well enough to compete last year. And Indy Hartwell won the championship climbing up top by an assist from Dexter Lumis, who I have been thinking about a lot lately because he magically disappeared from WWE programming, has not been seen in quite some time, but that's for another topic for another day. As we get to Thea Hale, Kalani Jordan, and Fallon Henley versus Izzy Dane, Kiana James, and JC Jane in a six-woman tag team match, it was fine for what it was. I was a little confused about Thea Hale submitting Izzy Dane when it should have been JC Jane in that situation. That is your nemesis. That is your friend that betrayed you, that used you, that manipulated you, but you ended up submitting the other person from the Mean Girls. It was all right for what it was, but Fallon Henley got the hot tag, cleaned house. My only pet peeve with Fallon Henley is that she screams entirely too much during her matches when she gets the hot tag. Like, calm down a little bit. It's all good. But Kalani Jordan, so good out there. Did some great stuff on the outside to really pop the crowd a little bit. She's going to be a star. I think that she's got to cultivate that baby face personality a bit. But in due time, in a year's time, I think that she'll be even better than what she is right now. But this is leading to the introduction of a secondary women's championship on NXT, the NXT Women's North American Championship. Thoughts on this new championship belt being introduced to NXT, Scott?
I'd rather see it on the main roster, to be honest with you, but it's a good opportunity for some women to have something else to fight over. And maybe this is kind of the precursor to that. This is a title I'd like to see somebody like a Kiana James hold, especially if she's not going to be involved in the top title. Somebody like her could hold this, or this could be the title that you have your up-and-comers hold. So if that's the case, then I think this would be a good belt for a babyface like Sol Ruka to hold, especially the way Oba on the men's side has been able to run with the title. You could absolutely have someone on the female side do the same thing, or on the women's side do the same thing. So I think this could be a really good thing. The match was fine. Didn't do a lot for me, but Thea Hale's got a lot of energy, a lot of pluckiness to her. So there's that.
Yes, a lot of fire, love her personality. Glad she's back to being that plucky, fiery baby face. And I enjoyed her work in this match. Kalani was a highlight as well. And Fallon was definitely there for the hot spots. But once again, too much yelling for me. My ears could not take it past a certain point. But otherwise, solid work throughout this match. Next up was my favorite match from NXT, Stand and Deliver. Something that Big E can be proud of. Three big, meaty men bumping meat in the North American Championship match between the champion, Obi Femi, versus Dijak versus Josh Briggs. This was absolutely fantastic. All three guys delivered. We saw some crazy stuff in this match, standout performances from all three guys, and the strength of Obi Femi to like deadlift someone over, like on his shoulders. And then we had like this DVD, Death Valley Driver, Fallaway. It just, the slam spot was just ridiculous. I can't put it into words. It was so good. Dijak is an NXT TakeOver PLE veteran out there. And I'm going to agree with Vinken right now that I also hate to see Dijak lose, because he had his moments when I thought he was going to win the championship. Obafemi comes through and choke slams him, takes out Josh Briggs to retain the championship. But I thought that all three guys stood out in a great way. They kept the flow going. They just delivered. We had big boots, clotheslines, crazy dives on the outside. And all three guys went out there, put on a show, and got a standing O from the crowd at the exact same time.
Yeah, by far the best match. And this was really good big man match. This was Dijak at his best. It's going to be hard to keep him a heel. Especially the way he's got these witty comebacks. And, you know, Briggs, I think, could be a really good heel. So a lot of this worked. Oba gets another big win over two big hosses. And whoever does end up taking that title from him is going to get something out of it, even this early in the run. So I think that guy's had like under 10 matches. So what he's doing right now is incredibly impressive under some very bright lights.
Yes, and what's cool about his entrance this time around versus what we got at Vengeance Day, the crowd, oh, they knew what to do. They gave him the chant, the love, they got the, he got the reception, the presentation was on point. So he's over outside of the PC, big crowd definitely helped bolster that presentation at Stand and Deliver as he retained his NXT North American Championship. And then the kickoff the show on yesterday was the NXT Tag Team Championship match between the Wolf Dogs, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Axiom and Nathan Fraser. I was expecting a title change, but I see the Wolf Dogs merchandise. And when there's money to be made and there's Kim there between Breakker and Corbin, you got to go with the hot hand. And I do hope someday soon that Baron Corbin does make the return to the main roster alongside Breakker, because they could be a hell of a tag team that will get over on Raw or SmackDown, since those tag team titles are now split. I really enjoyed this match. Bron Breakker's speed is ridiculous. The snap Rana to Axiom off the top rope was super clean. And Baron Corbin, not a guy known to fly off of high things. Top rope splash, perfect. And he is having the time of his life, the run of his career by far, and his return to NXT. And the Wolf Dogs retain the championship via End of Days and a spear by Bron Breakker. Really fun opener to NXT Stand and Deliver. And it appears, at least through at least a couple of more events, we got Breakker and Corbin still together as NXT Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, this is a fun match. We know what Corbin and Breakker brings to the table, but Axiom and Frazier are a really fun team. I look forward to whenever they eventually get called up. I think they'll bring a lot of excitement to the division. I've compared them to, they remind me a lot of London and Kendrick, just the way they move. And, you know, everybody kind of has the same moveset, but everything they do feels different. They have a little bit of a different moveset and they just hit a different gear. So this was a really fun match.
Definitely. And to quote Drew McIntyre, and this might not be fitting for him, considering what happened, I prayed for Axiom and Nathan Fraser to be in this match. We prayed for this. It happened. They lost. A little disappointing, but their time will come when it is time. It's just not right now. The Wolf Dogs are the top team on NXT as they should be, and I hope that it translates to the main roster at some time in the very near future. But enough NXT Stand and Deliver talk. Let's turn the page to last night's WrestleMania Night 2. And I'm laughing and thinking again, Drew was bored today. Well, he had time to tweet during his World Heavyweight Championship match that we'll get to in just a moment. But first, we had to kick things off with a beautiful rendition of America the Beautiful by the Warren Treaty. Love that rendition to kick off WrestleMania 40 Night 2. And then, Scott, in a stunner, we got the return of the one, the only, Stephanie McMahon to welcome us to WrestleMania 40. And it is clear that they are trying to say this is the Paul Levesque era. This is his baby. And they are cultivating it from the roots up. And it's like, daddy don't work here no more. He ain't around these parts. I'm like, this is a clear message that it's a new day. But I'm also hoping at the same time that when y'all out here praising and celebrating and patting yourselves on the back and bringing back professional wrestling, their words, of course, that your house, regarding these lawsuits and regarding these names that be, that could be coming out, are in order. Because if you coming out here and you not 100% sure that nothing is going to come out to incriminate you in the months to come, salute. But if you came out here and something gonna come out and you're not exactly clean, we will revisit this night for years to come as to what the hell any of you were thinking capping this much.
Yeah, it was a choice to bring her out. But this is the era we're in. They also mentioned Brock Lesnar a couple times. So I guess this is where we're at with WWE.
Telling you, if you ain't scrubbing from the top down, side eyeing you, I just hope that no news breaks that suggests some things, because this is pretty brazen. So either you are assured that names are clean and clear, or you are brazen to be this bold. We'll see. Having Stephanie out there was definitely a choice. I saw her at the Hall of Fame ceremony on Friday night when Paul Heyman was inducted, had her old school ECW hat on. She was front row, front and center, first public sighting in well over a year. So she is back in the thick of things. I don't know in what capacity, but we'll see how this goes, because her name has been brought up in not so favorable terms as of late. And I hope that someday, very soon, she addresses that, because there is a lot to unpack, especially when it comes to Janelle Grant's lawsuit against Vince McMahon. If any other names trickulate and come out, we're definitely going to talk about it right here on The Wrap as we transition to the opening match of WrestleMania 40 Night 2. It was Drew McIntyre, the challenger, versus Seth Rollins, the reigning defending WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And both guys had very fancy, elaborate WrestleMania entrances. Seth's was outlandish, crazy, gaudy, just everything that you would ever expect from him. We had Drew coming out with his pageantry, giving you Braveheart, giving you Scottish Warrior, which I loved. So, Scott, quick takes on which entrance did you prefer to kick off WrestleMania?
I'll take Elton John's backup dancers over the Braveheart soldiers.
Yeah, in terms of the mass of people that came out there, definitely the costumes, the pageantry for sure. Vinkin's also sad. No Broken Dreams. I'm sad. I am too, but you know what? They're having a show in Scotland, so I guess that they will be happy to hear that music in a couple of months. We shall see how it goes. But this match was all about, let's be honest, the battle of who can kick out of one's finishers the most. Because Drew McIntyre was a savvy guy. Seth Rollins main event at night one of WrestleMania, an attack team match alongside Cody Rhodes versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. He is not 100%, got a bad knee, bad back, bad everything. So why not hit the man Claymore out the gate for a near fall? Goes for a belly to back suplex on the floor to Seth as well. He tweets in real time with his wife's phone to say, "Hey, I'm bored. Hey, what's happening here?" And then we proceed to have claymores. We got pedigrees on the floor in the ring, curb stomps in the ring as well. On the floor, we got more claymores and future shock DDTs. We got near falls galore. And I was like, what is going on? The fans are hyped for this. And I kind of liked it because, in all honesty, that's what you're supposed to do. When you know a guy is weakened and he is not at his best, you go for the juggler, which Drew McIntyre did. We had CM Punk on commentary, calling the action. And it was a crazy spectacle that the fans definitely got into. But ultimately, it came down to Drew McIntyre hitting not one, not two, not three, but four claymores that Vinkin is also surprised that Seth survived, but ultimately succumbed to, as Drew McIntyre finally, after four long years, has won a major championship in front of human beings at WrestleMania 40 Night 2. I was very happy for him. He was overcome with emotion, and I really enjoyed the match. It was what it needed to be. It wasn't going to be a back-and-forth WrestleMania classic. It was a truncated match, made sense for what would end up being quite the opener when it's all said and done.
I thought the finisher fest was a bit much. I thought it was completely unnecessary and kind of just, you know, It was just kind of a pop the crowd match. It was fine for what it was. You know, the opening sequence of them, you know, trading their finishers, especially that early, reminded me of WrestleMania 25 when Orton and Triple H, you know, kicked out of each other's finishers at the very beginning of the match as well. So it had that vibe to it, but then it just kept going and turned into a Brock Lesnar match, you know, where Brock hits they keep hitting their finishers on Brock. He keeps kicking out, or specifically a Brock Roman match where it's just spear F5 back and forth. That's just kind of what this felt like. You know, he had a shock DDT thrown in there. Like where was the frog splashes? Where was the suicide dives? Where was the tossing suplex that Drew likes to throw? Where was, you know, I just a lot of moves that I felt like we didn't get. I don't remember. And if we did get them, it was in between a finisher sandwich. Cause I don't remember a run up, superplex into a Falcon Arrow or, you know, to me, it just became a bit much. It went from a 4 to a 3.5, for me, as far as a match rating, just on the quality, the quantity of finishers that we got. The barrage was just crazy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started in your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
It was a bit much, but I liked it. I appreciated it for what it was. You know, if you're trying to get the job done, trying to take out Seth, it's not going to be an easy feat. He's going to be a fighting champion going down to the very end. And he saw the emotion of losing, which I really appreciated as well. Like, hey, you got me. But I think CM Punk made a point as well. Like, this dude was weakened, bad knee, bad back, bad everything. Are you proud about this victory? And then we had Drew McIntyre do the thing he should never do. And that is tempt fate. So he kissed his wife. That's lovely. And then he made the cardinal mistake of going after the guy he should leave alone, and CM Punk. He taunted him. He tried to go for the GTS in this match, which would have been great heel heat. He got stopped by Seth, obviously. Got in Punk's face. Punk heard enough, tripped McIntyre on the announce table, took off the brace, and he made McIntyre pay for it by whacking him with his brace. And then Judgment Day's music hits. Punk's face said it all. Damian Priest sprinted down the aisle, briefcase in hand, whacked McIntyre in the face with said briefcase, cashed that baby in, hit South of Heaven. 1, 2, 3. We have a brand new world heavyweight champion. Damian Priest finished his story at WrestleMania. He is now the world heavyweight champion. Congratulations to him. I love the Judgment Day celebration. Rhea Ripley looking barefaced and gorgeous out there celebrating with her guy. They're now holding the two major singles championships on Monday Night Raw right now as the women's and men's world champion. A feat for Damian Priest. A hell of a way to kick off WrestleMania. And CM Punk made Drew McIntyre pay for it. Sat, cross-legged on the announce table and said, I got you. And that sets up story for months with Rollins and McIntyre and the new champ and Damian Priest and ultimately CM Punk when he is back at 100%. But this is probably building up to Drew McIntyre either coming into Scotland as champion in June or coming out of Scotland as champion when it's all said and done. So that's a nice precursor for what will be. But thankfully, Drew got his moment to shine by winning the championship for 5 good minutes in front of humans in Philadelphia.
Yeah, nice moment for Damian Priest. It's been a hell of a year for him. Money in the Bank, multiple tag titles, huge singles matches against Bad Bunny, Saudi Arabia versus Cody Rhodes, just being put in multiple main events on Monday Night Raw, working both nights of WrestleMania. Let's not forget about that. You know, you cannot count working this as if you want to. I bet you he counts it as work. Just a great culmination of a fantastic year. And the story that was told of Drew McIntyre getting what he wanted and taking advantage of Seth being obsessed with taking down the bloodline, so much so that his obsession with CM Punk cost him the title. It's a beautiful poetry that's told right there. So great overall. The cash in adds a bit. So if you add the cash in, I'll make it four stars right there for that match. But without it, it's 3.5. But great moment for Damian Priest. The crowd went crazy for it. They were electric. Love seeing Judgment Day celebrate with them. I know they're throwing it back. He ain't holding the camera tonight, I can tell you that. That boy the star tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let you know. He the star tonight. All right. I'm going to go ahead and let you know. Ain't no camera holding for him tonight. He said them days are over. Okay. But shout out to Damian Priest, new world heavyweight champion, Judgment Day. Him and Mommy, the new power couple right there. Dominic, yes. Better watch himself.
Ooh, he better watch his ass because, you know, I love Rhea and Damian's friendship and they're co-captains of Judgment Day. So, Dom, get you a championship ASAP, homie, or is she going to be looking another direction? I'm just saying. But Vinken asked a good question as well. Did they turn Punk already heel for when they have to deal with the footage that AEW is going to be releasing on Wednesday? No, I don't think so. And I will say this. I think that whatever footage is dropped on Wednesday, revealing the fight footage, it opens the door now for CM Punk to basically go, what the fuck ever, on the mic. This is going to be opening a lot of stuff up when he's ready to talk about it and deliver shots that he couldn't do when he initially came back in WWE. We remember the neutered promo a couple of nights after Survivor Series, and he was kind of like watered down with his promo. But if you are going to release his footage, he's not going to be a heel necessarily. He'll be a heel in Scotland for sure, but not all over the United States of America for sure. But whatever the footage is going to be, it's going to amplify whatever war we got going on. It's going to make things a bit more spicier, but it is going to be dependent of what this footage is ultimately and how bad Punk is going to look in all of this when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. So I'll be tuning in on Wednesday.
Yes, I mean, they need the viewership. The demos are very soft right now. It's concerning a bit. And with the NBA playoffs starting soon, that is going to take a hit. So if you're not, you know, in a solid place now, that number is going to keep dropping throughout the playoffs. So they need something in the interim to kind of boost things up. The footage would definitely be the key to that. I'm looking forward to it too, to see exactly what's on there, to see who had the upper hand in this fight between Jungle Boy Jack Perry and CM Punk. We'll see how Punk get out of AEW at All In when we get into it later on in the week. But also, Vinken says, keep your eyes at the task at hand is the lesson they learned us today. Yes. Several lessons were learned, especially during the main event, of how you have to keep your eyes on the prize, a lesson that one Roman Reigns learned fairly quickly before the night was over. As we move on to our next match, something that broke me last night unexpectedly, it was the Blair Witch Project, the Final Testament, or John Wick out there, if you want to so frame it that way, according to Scott, versus the Pride in a Philadelphia street fight. We got some special accoutrements for this match. We got special guest commentator, Grammy Award winner, Snoop Dogg, who was something else on commentary, and special guest referee, WWE Hall of Famer, Bubba Ray Dudley, to take things a bit to the extreme.
Yeah, that was cool. That was all right. It was fine. You know, he definitely not beating them allegations of being on the payroll now. That was a cool surprise. I thought Snoop Dogg was great. He added his own element to it. The live audience didn't get the experience, but everybody watching, I thought he added to it. I thought he was great. Completely different voice, but he was still talking about everything that was going on in the match. So, nice additions.
I was living for it. I loved him on commentary. He was trying to keep his mouth mostly clean because Pat was dropping shit bombs at some point during the show as well, like letting it flow on Peacock. And then I will say the entrances were all right, but I did love the aura of B-Fab coming out there looking great, you know, making her case for being a part of the Pride alongside Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. The match was all right for what it was. A lot of kendo stick shots, my God in heaven, a lot of whipping by the heels early on. And then we had table spots. That was quite surprising. B-Fab doing a Russian leg sweep to Scarlett through the table. Two green ladies out there doing that spot, but they pulled it off safely and it was a nice bump through the table. We had some table. How can I say this? The table wasn't cooperating at one point, got another table, and they were able to splash Karrion Kross through set table to get the victory. We had some cute Dudley Boys references with the glasses and, you know, with the what's up to crotch. Karrion in the ring, and Snoop loved that. And then Snoop got in the ring with his golden WWE championship to celebrate with the Pride as it got the win over the Final Testament of WrestleMania. This was perfectly acceptable. Not a great match. So I will give it 3 kendo sticks out of 5.
Not even. I'm gonna go 2.5 authors of pain because I only saw him for about 2.5 minutes. So I'm gonna go with 2.5 authors of pain.
That is fair. I'm giving it 3 kendo sticks for Snoop's commentary. So he gets a whole kendo stick because he was great. He could have been on the whole show, honestly, and he would have been a joy to listen to. He was just everything on commentary. A fair match. The feud honestly has sucked on SmackDown. They need to part and go their separate ways at this point. Never have a match again, and I'll be fine with it. But a nice, acceptable match for night 2 of WrestleMania. And the fans were engaged, but they were engaged for a different reason because it was a blinding fucking light that once again reared its head at a WrestleMania. They told them, turn the lights off. We are blind and we can't see shit. And this almost cursed another AJ Styles match. Thank God. They got it under control when they needed to. So it was next up. It was AJ Styles versus LA Knight. And, you know, AJ did tease new theme music. I have said before, AJ's theme music has been my ringtone for nearly a decade. I love that song. May it rest. I hate this new song. I don't like it. Period.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm sure when he turns back babyface, he'll go back to the old theme. But like I've said before, I'm a fan of having a heel theme and a babyface theme. I'm here for that. So, yeah, it sucks. But whenever he does go back babyface, it will be a glorious day.
Yes, and get that music back. I beg of thee, please God in heaven, because this music absolutely fucking sucks. I do not like it. LA Knight comes out via the Slim Jim vehicle, which I appreciated. And I will say this match was very good. This was a very good professional wrestling match. And what I love about this match, Scott, is the fact that these guys were on site. No need for me to take my time walking down the aisle. AJ ran down there immediately and he went straight to work on LA Knight, which I appreciated. This was a really good match, physical in nature. They cut the lights off, thank God, because I did not need that for Styles again. He put on his working boots. LA Knight, I think, had his best main roster match to date against AJ Styles. That avalanche German suplex was absolutely sick for a near fall. AJ was going for the Styles Clash, got blocked by LA Knight, went for the phenomenal forearm as well, got blocked by that as well. And ultimately LA Knight hits that blunt force trauma, that BFT for the victory to win his first ever match at WrestleMania. And I was very happy for him. This time last year, it was WrestleMania in LA, and LA Night was over, but he was not nowhere near where he is right now. But this is a great performance, and AJ Styles, one of his better WrestleMania performances to date outside of what he did against, crazily enough, Shane McMahon 7 years ago at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando.
Yeah, AJ Styles had just gotten off work at Red Lobster making the biscuits for everybody. So shout out to him for working double shift tonight. Big win for LA Knight. Good match. Very enjoyable. I'm going to give it I'm going to go 3.5 BFTs. Actually, why would I do that? Let me give it 3.5 yes. So we'll go 3.5 with those. Good match, and nice little buffer match in between on as we built this show, which I thought that a good job of building as they went.
Yes, I love that. It was building, escalating from match after match after match. The pacing was so much better. It was building anticipation for the main event, and the fans were with it. They were over the lighting. Obviously, they fixed that. That's got to be a fix for these stadium shows moving forward when they're outside. Fix the fucking lights. But as Vickin also says, WWE music has been shit for a while. You are right there, sir, because, you know, we used to drag CFOs for being repetitive. At least they had a beat and they had some lyrics and it had like a groove. Like this new stuff, with very few exceptions, it sucks. I am not going to lie to you. Is Jim Johnson available? Can he drop some old school beats for Hunter? Like, Hunter, since you run shit in WWE now, can you call some professional musicians to get in there in the booth and mix some songs for your talent? Because this right here sucks. No lie.
Yeah, the music's pretty bad right now.
Just whack. You know, back in my day, you know, you would buy like WWE Music Volume 2, 3, 4, 5, WWE Anthology. Ain't dropping coin on none of this stuff these days. I'm not even spitting on Spotify.
True.
I'm just saying. And also with all the money they make, it's time to fire. Yes, it's time to fire Def Rebel. Yes. Fire them. Let's can them. Bring back CFOs if you have to. Call Jim Johnson. Find you a publisher that can produce good stuff. I beg of thee. Please, Lord in heaven. Please, 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 please. As we get to our next match. It is for the WWE United States Championship. It is Logan Paul, the U.S. champion, versus Kevin Owens, who got some good luck encouragement from new Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn and the Viper, Randy Orton. Now, what I liked about this match is the fact that up until this match at WrestleMania, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton got along. They had a common goal. They hated Logan Paul, and they wanted to be a united front. But when you know, when the chips are down and you got to go after a championship, you got to say F a friendship, F an alliance, let's go at it. And Logan Paul tried to stir the pot a little bit, but eventually it did come down to Kevin Owens and Randy Orton going at it back and forth. I really enjoyed this match. Love the double buckshot lariat by Logan Paul to Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. At one point, we had the prime bottle, not realizing this was Peacock, and he just cursing out Randy Orton and barking in his face, and Randy RKOs him on the announce table and barks at him after he did it. I love the camera work in this match, especially when we had Kevin Owens hit the moonsault off the top for a near fall, and Logan Paul did the same at one point. The camera angles were spectacular. We had brass knucks shots, and then the referee was able to calm things down when Randy says, no, I want to do this the right way. I want to do this fair and square. And it came down to Randy hitting that RKO on Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul chucks Randy out of the way, goes up top, hits a gorgeous splash. The extension via instant replay was spectacular. Loved it. Pinned Kevin Owens for the victory. And Logan Paul, as we projected and predicted, is still the WWE United States champion in a very good triple threat match for said championship.
Yeah, this is a really good match. Great RKO from Randy Orton on KO on the pop-up. Logan Paul, the double buckshot lariat. He hit a senton on Kevin Owens. And as soon as he rolled through off the senton, got right on his feet and hit a frog splash on the Randy Orton. He put on a great show. This is a really fun match. For me, this is going to get four and a quarter bottles of Prime.
Yes. And Vinkin also goes back to, like, the Rumble this year showed us how generic most women's themes are. No wonder no one gets over. That is so true, because during the Rumble, when we heard those entrances, like, the music was so generic, you didn't know how to react because you don't know who the people are coming out. And that is very true. It really leads to subdued reactions, which we got throughout that Women's Warrior Rumble match. And Vinkin also says best angle was Sammy waiting in Gorilla on Kevin to flash back to yesterday. Perfect callback, perfect production, and the same camera work that guided Kevin to the ring for this match was stellar as well. Lee Fitting, you know, this guy has been an incredible hire for WWE. The production value has gone up so much. The angles have been angling. The camera work has been spectacular. And just hitting moves from every angle and it just hits perfectly has been a blessing. Production work for WrestleMania has been exceptional this year. And I'm going to say this very boldly. This is the kind of work that you can win Emmys for, legitimately. This is the kind of work that you submit for sports Emmys. This is the kind of work that you say, okay, look at what we're producing here. And you can go up against some of the best live events in sports and you can compete. That is what you have this guy for. Let him do it. Now he will make up some fake producers for the nominations list. Naughty, naughty, but legitimate names on said nominations list. Yeah, you can definitely get some awards off of this. I truly believe WWE can do it.
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity there. The camera work's been great. Love the follow shot. Good callback to yesterday, especially with Sammy winning and kind of the seed they laid there of them both winning the championship. And then KO is the one who ends up getting pinned. So, yeah, it's a very good story they can tell there. Part of me wouldn't be surprised if KO turns on Sammy tomorrow on Raw. Hope not. I think there's still a lot of mileage in them both getting that title. But this was a good match. Really, really good way to continue the elevation of the card.
Yes, as we keep building and building and building to our semi-main event, which is Bayley versus Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship. Bayley gets a special entrance, new theme music. It's all right. It's all right. Nah. Love Bayley. Music is very meh. Not going to lie, Io Sky, she still has her music from CFOs. Praise the Lord. Comes out there as charismatic as ever. This was a match, and the fans loved Bayley. I was so happy to hear that love and reception for her. This was a strong match. They put their entire body of work out there in a great battle for this championship. Bayley was selling throughout this match, which I appreciated. And Io Sky, just a ring general out there, setting the tempo and the pace, being the perfect heel. The fans were into it, singing for Bayley. A bit too much for me, but hey, crowd heat's crowd heat. I appreciate that. But both ladies, they delivered. We got the Bayley to belly for a near fall to pop the crowd. Tries to go for a rose plant, but that misses by Io Sky. Nice counters throughout. And then when the time comes, Bayley goes up top for an elbow drop. And then eventually another belly-to-belly attempt, then the rose plant on Io Sky, and we have a brand new champion in Bayley. The fans go crazy, and this was the result we predicted, that Bayley would walk out of WrestleMania, the new women's champion, and it is long overdue. A great victory for Bayley, and as Vickin also notes, yeah, it was definite glimpses of stardom Io in this match, and it was a really strong women's championship match, and I will say bell-to-bell in terms of technique and flow, best match of the night outside of the main event.
Yeah, you can have argument there. It's a really good match. Very, very strong. Bayley with a great reaction. Io Sky more than held up her end of the bargain. Was a great champion in defeat here. The counter at the end where Bayley went for the Outcast Rose or whatever it's called. And Io was able to counter that with the flip and land on her feet and had the crowd going woo, and just a great, again, the camera angles on the moonsaults. Io at one point hit a moonsault from the middle rope. Oh, I'm sorry. She had a standing moonsault, stepped on her stomach, hit a middle rope moonsault, stepped on her stomach, went to the top rope, hit a moonsault. Just great, great back and forth, great counters. For me, this is going to get, since I didn't get him at WrestleMania, this is going to get 4.5 Bayley buddies out of me.
Oh, we didn't get the Bayley buddies. We were cheated out of that moment. Would have popped the crowd even more. We'll also go 4.5 Bayley buddies as well. I miss them. We need them in our lives, maybe one day soon. But we got Babyface Bayley, and that's what matters. Very happy for her. She is now a champion, getting some WrestleMania redemption. First singles match of WrestleMania, co-main event spot, got over, got the pops, had a great match, and I thought she looked stellar in this match as well. EO2, which sets the stage for what we have been waiting for a year. A year ago, I was upset about how the main event of WrestleMania 39 ended. I wanted Cody to finish his story. But WWE said, no, we're not going to be doing that. And they gave us a story and a journey for a year of Cody climbing his way back from the bottom to where he is at the pinnacle, at the top, two-time, back-to-back, Royal Rumble winner. We got pageantry for the introductions. Cody, one time a year, twice a year this year, comes up from the Cody Vader, and he is accompanied by, after I've been saying it for over a year, Brandi Rhodes finally shows up, takes off the skull he was wearing, and he makes the way down to the ring alone. And then, as I predicted as well, Roman Reigns would come out to a choir and an orchestra playing his theme song, the pageantry. The Avengers Endgame has come via these entrances, and they were glorious, Scott.
Yeah, the entrances were great. Definitely set the tone for the main event. And Cody's was great. The video that led into it. Everything about this felt big, felt big time. Crowd reacted appropriately. This was a very good a precursor to what we would get in the actual match.
Yes, and the match, Samantha Irvin, her ring announcing, stellar, sets the tone perfectly for this match. Now, we knew that under bloodline rules, chicanery was afoot, for sure. Shenanigans is going to happen. But let it be known that Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, chemistry-wise, they hit in every way. They are special together in the ring. And this match, for as long as it was, it never dragged. Had great pacing throughout. We had Roman hit a freaking crossroads on Cody for a near fall. We had Cody hit a couple of spears on Roman, one through the barricade as well. Popped the crowd. We had Superman punches, had counters into the Cody cutter that Roman turned into the set crossroads at one point as well. The back and forth of this match is really exceptional. The work these guys do together is just awesome. Just as great as it was at last year's WrestleMania. And it's a special feeling, as Vinken also says, that when you hit your opponent with their finisher, it's nothing like it. It harkens back to what Stone Cold and The Rock did back in the day when The Rock hits the stunner and then Stone Cold hits the rock bottom and you pop for like, oh my God, they're going to kick out of it. But the funny thing about Roman hitting the crossroads says, that move don't beat nobody. I just wanted to prove that it ain't shit. I'm like, Roman, just to be defiant, says, okay, I could have won, but at the same time, this move don't finish nobody off. Just wanted to rub it in his face a little bit. Love the trash talking by Roman Reigns to kind of piss all over the crossroads. But then, of course, when Cody gets ever so close to winning this championship match, we get crazy interference from the bloodline. First, Jimmy comes out and super kicks Cody, and then Jay immediately comes out to even the odds. And I'm going to be very brazen, Scott. We saw this sorry match at WrestleMania Night 1 between Jimmy and Jay. The spear Jay delivered to Jimmy off the stage through the table was the highlight of what their match could have been the night before.
Yeah, and that wasn't even that great. But the crowd was hot for Jay. That's all, you know, that was what was important. And that was it was just a domino effect after that. And I'm glad you brought up about Roman and Cody, because I thought the match that they had for the match went about 35 minutes. The first 20 was really just them two one-on-one, and they had a great match. Just them two going back and forth. I thought that was fantastic. And one thing I think they've done a really good job of with Cody Rhodes and with Roman Reigns in particular is, he's never hit the three crossroads on Roman at any point in time. You know, he's never hit the three, because anytime he's hit the three on anybody, like he did on Voldemort, well, I guess we can call him Brock Lesnar now. I guess we can start saying his name again. I don't know. I'm gonna keep calling him Voldemort until further information has been processed. But when he hit the three on Voldemort, that was it. And when he hits the three, it's ball game. Like there's no coming. When he did it on Seth, there's no coming back from that. So I think they've done a great job of protecting the through the triple crossroads, because when he locks it in and he keeps it locked, it's ball game. And he never hit the all three. Every time he hit the one, Jimmy came out. Then he hit the two, Solo came out, you know, and then he hit the third, and that's when, you know, we get to that. But I think they've done a great job of with that little detail of with the triple crossroad.
Yes, absolutely. He never hit the third on Roman, and that was the key. And a great callback, and then thinking to throw more shade on Jimmy and Jay. They should have just given this to a stipulation with no DQ, and it probably wouldn't be the worst Mania match ever. Woo boy, 40 WrestleManias. I am not going to say that was the worst Mania match I've ever seen. I think there might have been some stinkers in there with 40 years for sure that sucked. I got to reevaluate for sure, but it was definitely bottom tier. It was not very good. Brother versus brother, unless you're Owen and Brett, it is not going to hit. And that was definitely the case on Saturday night. But eventually a Solo come out there to stop Cody again. Samoan Spike thought the match was over. And then John Cena comes out to avenge those 75 Samoan Spikes he got from Solo at Crown Jewel, takes him out with the AA. And then we have the final boss, The Rock, coming out electric. And then it's Roman and it's John Cena face to face, first time in a long time. Fans on their feet, they're hot for it. And then Roman drops Cena with a rock bottom. Then we have The Rock take off his belt, ready to whoop some ass. Before that happens, we get Seth Rollins. The Shield's music hits. And the fans are looking for Seth. And then out of nowhere, Roman wipes out Seth. Like, we wasted his gear and he doesn't hit one move. But we have to go back to what Seth told Cody. Let me be your shield. I will take the hit for you. And he did when it counted most. So then again, we have Roman Reigns in position to win this match. Rock standing tall. Got the Mama Rose belt once again. And then we hear the gong go off. And it's time for The Undertaker to come out. Lights go off. Lights come back on. Taker's in the ring. Rock is shell-shocked. Chokeslam done. After that is over, we have Cody Rhodes in the ring. And he finally hits not one, not two, but three crossroads to finally finish a story at the bottom of the ninth inning to become the new WWE Universal Champion, undisputed, on lockdown. I'll let Scott take over from here with the celebration post-match, but as we predicted, outside of glass shattering, which would have been everything to cap off an incredible WrestleMania, this was booked to perfection. It needed to be an overbooked clusterfuck of a match, and I loved it. It was great. Post-match, I love that as well.
I got a 5 1/4 neck tattoos for this one. this was a great, 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 great match. Great Mania main event. This is an all-time moment. This is going to be something talked about. The reaction was incredible, as it should have been. You know, Roman fell victim to the same thing the opening match fell victim to. His obsession and his hatred for Seth Rollins, which is very well documented. Rollins was the perfect foil in this entire thing, and this showed why. They did make him look like a goof. I don't remember having all that dye hair, so maybe that's why they had him in the opening match, so he had time to dye his hair for the Shield entrance in the main event. So there's that. The shenanigans that we got with all of the entrances and everything, and let's not forget Cody kicked out of a spike, and he kicked out of a spike and spear combination. So, you know, he had that. That was a great near fall. And then you had Cena, who hit the AA on Solo. He also hit the AA on Roman. There was a lot going on, constant movement. And, you know, The Rock came out, him and Cena had the face off. And, you know, it's amazing to see what 10 years will do to somebody, because they one looks the same and One looks like he's about to go for a role and play somebody's dad. But, you know, we had a, it was a great moment. Great moment. Nice rock bottom. And I don't know what more you can ask for. Nice post-match with everything going on. Cody got to give a nice little speech. Shout out everybody. And it was honestly a bit surreal to see him with that title and to have that moment. And it was great. It was a fantastic end to a very good WrestleMania.
Yes, and Vickin says, good on Roman wanting to smash Seth with a chair instead of Cody. And he lost because of it. He did, because that has been triggering for Roman for the last 10 years. In some ways, that is Roman's origin story for being the tribal chief. That betrayal has wounded him for 10 years this year. It will mark 10 years this summer when Seth was the plan B for Triple H. Adapt or perish, and Seth opted to adapt and kill off the Shield. And the first hit was not to Mox. Let's not forget, the first shot was to Roman Reigns' back. And it was Mox who says, what the fuck? What's going on? You did what? And it just imploded the Shield for years. And Roman has been scarred by this. And he took the opportunity to say, you know what? After 10 years, let me get my lick back. Great rivalry. They have an unfinished story that I would love to see very soon, because it's right there. Their matches have been great. Never had that complete one-on-one match with the finish. That will come eventually. But great full circle moment to wrap up a remarkable WrestleMania. This was a great post-match championship interview with Cody, with everybody in the ring. You had Brandy, his mom. You had little Brody in there. You had just everybody supporting him, from CM Punk, Randy Orton, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, family and friends, the collective out there, Bruce Pritchard. Let me get my gag back for that. Paul Levesque came out there as well. And it was a nice celebration outside of one person I can't stand. And it was a nice way to culminate a very great WrestleMania. Subdued fireworks, I must say. Like, pyro was on a budget this year. It wasn't like $55 million worth of pyro going off, which was refreshing. But, you know, I enjoy this WrestleMania very much. And I will say that Miguel has a great question, saying, who is going to be Cody's first challenger post WrestleMania?
You know, I was thinking about what we got, and I think Rollins could easily turn on him and get three young guys and form his own version of the Shield if he wanted to. I think that would be an interesting way to go for the summer. You don't really have anybody built up ready to go. I don't see anybody having a big return. You know, especially I'm assuming Cody's going to be moving to SmackDown now. So, you know, I guess he won't be Seth either, because Seth's on Raw. So, you know, who do you go? For me, Lashley's a good option. He's somebody who hasn't had an opportunity at that title in a while. They just came off of a big victory, so Lashley's a good option there. You could also go with somebody like Kevin Owens. I could see Cody doing, like, you know, and I'm going to be a fighting champion, so I'm going to defend the title tonight. And I could definitely see Kevin Owens stepping into that. He's somebody who could take the loss. Randy Orton, it's been a very popular pick for him to turn on Cody. So out of those three, I'm going to probably say Bobby Lashley is going to be his first kind of big matchup that he'll have coming out of WrestleMania.
Definite possibility. Love the thoughts of KO and Randy. I think will be the ultimate matchup as well down the road to kind of play out their legacy history there. I want to go through some comments real quickly from Vinkin, saying after Mox went full Cinnablock mode, remember that 10 years ago? God, Seth Dean was good in the day. It really was. I love the rivalry back in 2014. Then we have Vinkin suggesting Dominic Mysterio being Cody's first opponent. Yeah, to get wiped out immediately, for sure. No doubt. And then he says, hold off Gunther until Berlin, though. I do agree. If Gunther is going to get traded or possibly drafted to SmackDown, you hold off on that until Berlin if they opt to go in that direction, obviously.
Yeah, I think Gunther is going to be I think Gunther and Damian Priest are going to be on a collision course. Definitely that little confrontation they had over the IC title was not an accident. And now with the tables turned of Damian Priest being the one holding the gold that Gunther wants, I think that is going to be the title that Gunther goes after.
A very good possibility. Seed planting going back before WrestleMania. Now it gets to play out in a very cool way when it counts most post WrestleMania as we get ready for the most important Raw of the year, the Raw after WrestleMania tonight back in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center. But before we go, Scott, it's now time to grade WrestleMania Night 2. WrestleMania 40 is in the books. So on a scale from 1 to 10 tiers, your final score for WrestleMania XL.
I am going to go with, in honor of it being in Philadelphia, I'm going to go with 8.5 Philly cheesesteaks for this WrestleMania. Really good. Didn't quite hit the 9 that I had for WrestleMania Night 139 last year, but this was great. And maybe I am underrating it a little bit. Maybe it should be a 9, especially with that ending we got, but I'm going to stick with my 8.5.
8.5 cheesesteaks is fair, so I'm going to go with 8.5 Philly cheesesteaks as well. Maybe 8.5 Philadelphia Eagles. That's fair as well to say.
Who's going to be your half eagle?
Half eagle will be from the card itself.
No,
half eagle.
No, from Philly.
From Philly.
Yeah. Which eagle do you only need half of?
Jason Kelce. He's retired.
Got it. All you need him up is from the waist up anyway. He can do commercials.
Yes.
Play by play. Right. No doubt. True that.
Yes.
Right, here's your half.
Yes. 8.5 Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. That is my assessment for WrestleMania 40. All in all, a really fun weekend for WWE. They are trying to reassert themselves as being in the professional wrestling business. And I will say I love the emotion from Michael Cole. He was way into it at the end. You felt that realism there, that they've been through a lot in the last year. I think there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that we're not privy to. And I would love for them to actually just pull everything back and just keep it a buck. Keep it real to say how stressful this last year has been with Vince in and out of power. And now he's out for good, hopefully, and just let it all bear. I want that documentary. Tell me how it's been under the Triple H era and see how it's going. But as I said before at the top, when Stephanie came out, you better have your house in order, fully and clean, because you really put yourself out there saying this is a new era, a new day, and it's going to stay this way for years to come. I hope that's the case, but you got to clean the culture up that has been just stinky and funky for a long time. And Bruce Pritchard, I will say, is a big part of that, and he needs to go. I will go on the record and say that clear as day. He got to go. Any soldier of Vince that was there and saw stuff and enabled it has got to go, and I stand by that.
Yeah, it needs to be a little house cleaning done. After WrestleMania, essentially it's the day one, so it's a good time to do that. Great night, and hopefully they do take care of that. And we'll see what the if the Stephanie thing was just kind of a one-time thing, just to kind of bring her back, let her get a good reaction. I agree with you about the Bruce Pritchard thing, so there's that. But yeah, house cleaning, there's still some things that need to get done, but this was a great night for them to celebrate and to build off of moving forward.
Yes, very much so. And with that, it's now time to put a bow on this week's episode of The Wrap. But it's not the end of this week, because we still got one more live stream to go to wrap up this very busy weekend for us, because tomorrow night we'll be back around 11:20 p.m. Eastern with our Night After WrestleMania recap right here on YouTube, live recapping all of the festivities from the night after WrestleMania. Safe bet, it won't suck like last year.
Yeah, I'm confident about that. Cody's going to get a great reaction. Damian's going to get a great reaction. Sammy's going to get a great reaction. So we got three new champions. I'm looking forward to Damian and Cody getting in the ring together. I think this we're going to get a lot of interactions. Hopefully The Rock is there. I would expect some surprises with the Bloodline. I would expect maybe a new member or two with the Bloodline. Maybe some people are getting written off TV. Who knows? But yeah, tomorrow's going to be great.
Yeah, I sense that Becky and Seth are going to go on an extended vacation for a bit. well deserved, because they got to heal up for some injuries and going through a very crazy WrestleMania weekend. Shout out to Rhea Ripley as well, who had a panic attack right before the match, and the way she soldiered through. Congrats to both ladies on that. Seth, take some time off, homie. You deserve it. You've been doing your thing for well over a year now, trying to lend credibility to this World Heavyweight Championship that I shaded publicly for how it looked, but it's growing on me. It's not ugly. It's acceptable. So I can grow with it in time as well. And we should look forward to what should be a very fun night after WrestleMania. Shout out to Vinkin and Miguel for joining us, staying up late, chatting with us, discussing the highs and lows from WrestleMania XL. Come back tomorrow night, one more night with us for the wrap to finish a three-peat of what will go down the night after WrestleMania in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. As always, I want to thank my co-captain, WrestleMania Scott Young, for being here with me two nights in a row, recapping the highs and lows from WrestleMania XL in Philadelphia.
As always, Keela, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Exciting times. Great night. Look forward to what the Raw After Mania has. And yeah, this is, again, exciting times. And this is all even without CM Punk being involved. And when he comes back, it's just going to be another bit of dynamite to add to the mix. So this is very, very exciting times for WWE.
Yes, it is. Another sold out house probably tomorrow night as well. The streak might continue for a couple of more weeks, but all good things must come to an end. But this company is still incredibly hot right now. A lot of international shows. And the one thing we don't know yet is, where is WrestleMania 41 going to be? Normally we have a clue as to where we're going to be next year, but no video has dropped. So Scott, before we go, where do you think WrestleMania 41 is going to be next year?
Oh, I have no clue. Absolutely no idea. No idea. Maybe Vegas, Minnesota. I don't know. Not a clue.
Atlanta. There, I said it.
All right. They know they won't be playing basketball or anything at that time. So
excuse me, sir. Yes, they will.
They don't have to. They know that they're not priority. Let me rephrase it. The Hawks are not the priority. So if they're like, yeah, we won at WrestleMania. Oh, the Hawks got a game. Oh, that's okay. We'll just send them on a road trip.
Oh my God, I can't with you. But I will go with Nick Khan said. He says that potentially WrestleMania could be later in April moving forward, because it's a way to avoid that NCAA tournament thingy during the weekend, to avoid that competition, which is good. We'll see how it goes as we will enter a couple of new eras this time next year with WrestleMania and Monday Night Raw being on streaming services, Peacock and Netflix, respectfully. That is going to be a new experience next year. But until next year, we'll be here tomorrow night recapping everything you need to know from the night after WrestleMania going down from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For myself and for WrestleMania, Scott Young, take care. Bye-bye. And I hope you enjoy the highs and lows for WrestleMania 40.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.